Well, if I haven't had the chance to meet you, my real name is Ellie. My last name is Cotter, and I know it ends in an R, but everyone say Cotter. There we go. Like Brian said, I just want to say thank you to the team for an amazing Easter Sunday service, amazing Good Friday. We love you guys, and we're just so grateful for how you serve. On Good Friday, we focused on the cross, and we talked about how the cross is where justice and mercy intersect, because it's where my sin is dealt with, but it's also my path back into relationship with God. And we brought our stuff to the cross and we walked away with a promise. And I love hearing the promises that people picked up. Can I just share one with you quick? She was sitting there and she's like, Lord, what do I need to bring to the cross? And she felt like the Lord say, I want you to bring your desires. Are you willing to lay down your desires? So she wrote that on her card, brought it to the cross. And I kid you not, do you know the promise she received? The Lord will grant you the desires of your heart. And so I'm just trusting that you all received the promise that you needed to. And then on Easter Sunday, we focused on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the perspective of... who was the guy? Thomas. You were trying to say his proper name, right? Because apparently the Bible didn't talk about Tommy and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But we looked at how from the perspective of someone who needed to see in order to believe. And while Pastor Mark was preaching, I couldn't help but think of the story. And it reminded me of an interview, and perhaps you've heard of this interview with Charles Colton. Does anyone know? Oh, yes, this is awesome. Okay. So following his conversion to Christianity after the Watergate scandal, he was interviewed and he asked, why do you believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is accurate? And he answered one word. He said, Watergate. I know that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is truth and fact, and Watergate proved it to me. So he went on to explain that during Watergate, we're talking about high ranking officials. We're talking about some important people. And this was a tightly controlled cover-up. But they could not keep it a secret. They couldn't keep the lie hidden for more than a few weeks. And he can't contrast that with the disciples of Jesus who maintained their testimony about the resurrection even under persecution, even under suffering, even under death, and they did not recant their story once. We learned how Thomas went from let me see to believe to willing to die for his faith. And if it was not true, why in the world would the disciples have sustained a false claim? Watergate proved to him that Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He rose from the grave. And church, he is returning one day for his bride, the church. That's why I'm preaching on watch and pray. Watch and pray, because at some point Jesus Christ is going to return, just like he said he would. Just like he died and rose again. Everything that Jesus did has been foretold and it has come to pass. When is Jesus returning? Well, I have a date. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you for laughing. Do you know that even though the timing is uncertain, there is certainty in the preparation that is required from you and I. And that certainty, preparation, is to watch and pray. Uncertainty in the timing of his return, but certainty in the preparation required for that return. So we're going to look at Jesus' own words regarding his return, and then we're going to look at some of the New Testament authors as well. Father, I thank you for the work that you have already begun. I thank you, Lord, that your word says that you are faithful and just to complete that which you already started. Father, we celebrate all that you did on Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And as we prepare our hearts today to receive the word, I thank you that your word will not return void, but it shall accomplish everything that it was sent out to do. Father, I thank you that you are already present here. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you've already begun to work during worship. I thank you, Lord, for those intimate moments. I thank you that we get to encounter you. We thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross. We thank you that you rose again just like you said you would. And we thank you that you are returning for your bride. And may we, your church, be ready. Amen. It's Easter 2021. And it's COVID has well passed the 3 weeks to flatten the curve. You all know what I'm talking about. It's like this is dragging on and on and on. And so finally, Ryan and Katie get married in this beautiful outdoor wedding location in the hills of Lafayette. And Mark and I are sitting there and going, we could have church here. And so we began having outdoor services at this wedding venue in Lafayette. And it's Easter Sunday, it's 2021, and it is just beautiful. Like we're in the open air, beautiful trees. Does anyone remember? Yes, it was just stunning. And we were singing just the voices, we exalt thee. And there are moments in worship when heaven opens. And this was one of those moments. It marked me. So profound was that time that I just felt like the Lord cut through my thoughts in the most unusual way. I was getting ready to preach on the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that's what you do on Easter Sunday. And as we're singing, I exalt thee, just as clear as day, it's not an audible voice, but just through my thinking, Jesus said to me, don't forget, I'm returning. It's like that's two-thirds of the story, Ellie. And I'm like, so if you remember that Easter Sunday, I'm like, you know, and Jesus died for us and he rose again and he's returning. And I just kept like trying to add, and he's returning. But from that moment, marked something in me. Because Jesus said to me, prepare my bride for my return. And from there, I went on to ask the Lord, how do we disciple effectively? And then Mark and I started asking the question, what does the end time church look like? And I want you to know that the end time church looks like nothing we have seen before. It can't. Because we're going to walk into a season that we've never been before. And so as we've been praying about what does the end time church look like, we know she worships in spirit and in truth. We know that it's not just about the power and the presence of Holy Spirit, but it's also about the power of the truth of Scripture. And we are finding a way at Exchange. I believe we're pioneering a way to show other churches that are going to come after us of what it means to be an end times church and how to worship in spirit and in truth. He's returning for his bride, and may we all be ready. If you have your Bible with me, turn to Mark chapter 13, and I'm going to read from verse 28 to 37. But before I do, the context of this scripture is Jesus is sitting on the Mount of Olives with Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Andrew, and one of the disciples said, look at these amazing buildings and these amazing stones. And Jesus said to them, they're going to disappear. They're all going to go. And then the disciples said to him in private, tell us what you mean. What does it look like? And this is what Jesus said to them. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near, at the door. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But on the day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray. For you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants, to each to his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, in the morning, lest he come suddenly and he finds you sleeping. And what do I say to you? I say to all, watch. Here's Jesus explaining to his disciples But just like the fig tree, you can know the season. There is not a single word that Jesus spoke carelessly. There is not a single word that Jesus said that brought deception, that was untrue. Every single one of his words are true, and they have changed people's lives for centuries to come. The fig tree, it starts to show us that summer is near. What would be signs for this generation? I would say the formation of Israel as a country, as a nation in 1948 is a pretty big one. I would say that in 1967, when all of Jerusalem came back under Jewish control, under Israel control, that would be a pretty big sign. So how long is a generation? I don't know. Could we be in the window? Perhaps. But needless to say, he has given us opportunity to see for those who are what? Who are watching? Are you watching? October 7th, when Hamas invaded Israel, certainly put my attention onto Israel and onto the Middle East. And I pray that it has for you also. When J.D. Vance got off the plane and he said, no peace treaty, I was like, oh, okay. It would have been a whole different story if he got off that plane and said, yeah, we've entered into a 7-year peace treaty. If you don't know what that means, I encourage you to go and have a look at that 7-year peace deal, because we know, we can see, but we don't actually know the exact time. And here's what I want to leave with you. It's less about figuring out when he will return and more about being ready for his return. Let me say that again. It is less about figuring out when he will return and more about being ready for his return. And I pray that us as a group of believers, us as a faith community, would be ready for his return. Uncertain to the timing, but certain in the preparation. And the preparation is to watch and pray. So those were Jesus' words. Now let's look at some New Testament writing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 to 6 says, but you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so this day should not surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. Have you ever done something and you were somewhat unaware? You weren't alert in that moment? I know I have. When we first moved here to Walnut Creek, I met this girl. She was a troubled soul. And I found out that she had tried to take her own life and was in one of the county hospitals in Oakland. And I was like, you know, me being the good Christian girl, the good pastor, I wanted to go and encourage her and just pray over her. So I got in my car, routed Highlands Hospital, drove. There was no parking at the hospital. So now I'm driving around the side streets and I'm trying to find a parking spot, but I am not aware of my surroundings, meaning I'm not alert. I'm focusing on something else. And so I find a spot and I think, so I can park here. So I park my car. I hop out and I start walking in the direction of the hospital. And this beautiful lady, I have no other way to describe her other than she was an angel sent by the Lord, said to me, honey, you are not so dumb as to leave your car there. Turn around right now, walk back into your car and go and find a different spot to park. All of a sudden, as I started walking back to my car, I became alert. I'm like, oh, you know, I shouldn't have parked here. Got in my little car and went and found another parking spot. This is what it means to be alert, to be sober, be aware. Sometimes we can be so distracted because we are tethered to the things of this world. We are distracted because we're thinking about things that we shouldn't be. We are distracted because I've started focusing on, I wonder what I'm going to say when I see her in a hospital room. My mind was elsewhere. And because my mind was elsewhere, I was not watchful. We don't know the timing. The timing is uncertain, but the preparation is certain. And the preparation is to watch and to pray, to be mindful, to be awake, to be alert. Colossians 4 verse 2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And I love how Brian just spoke this morning about gratitude, how it is just the foundation of so much. But we are to devote ourselves to prayer and to being watchful. We spent 8 weeks preaching on prayer, and I encourage you to go and watch them, re-listen to them. But Jesus told us to pray for 2 things. Do you remember? First thing, we are to pray for the laborers of his harvest, because the harvest is truly plentiful. And the second thing he told us to pray for is we are to pray for those who persecute us. We are to pray for our enemies. And so if we are to be certain on what is required of us in preparation for his return, watch and pray. Watch, I'm alert. I see the fig tree. I notice. My eyes and my attention are towards the Middle East and the countries to the north, because scripture tells me so. But what am I to pray? I am to pray for the laborers. I am to pray for those who persecute me. That is how we stay alert. 1 Peter 4:7 says, the end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Soon is a relative term. In South Africa, we would say now. When are you coming? Now. How many parents say, just give me a minute? Is it a real minute? Just a sec. We use time in different ways, right? And so Peter's saying, you know what? The end of the world is coming soon. And here's my philosophy. We are closer today than we were yesterday. That's as complicated as I need to make it. But because he's coming soon, we need to be earnest and disciplined in our prayers. Revelation 16, verse 15 says, look, I will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Be like, hang on a minute, didn't you just contradict yourself? Because Jesus said in private to his disciples that you'll see the fig tree and you'll know that summer's coming. And now he's like, well, hang on a minute, it's going to be unexpectedly as a thief. And then he says, blessed are all who are watching for me. Are you watching for his return? I love this part. Who keep their clothing ready so they'll not have to walk around naked and ashamed. I'm like, all right, you got your clothing ready just so that you don't have to walk around naked and ashamed. Well, what is Jesus saying? How many of you, if your kids have a major baseball game or soccer game, you get the clothes out the night before? You're prepared. You're getting ready. There's too much stress in the morning. You don't want to be late. You don't want to have to be thinking about, do you have your socks? Do you have your cleats? Is it an away uniform? Is it a home uniform? You don't want your child being the one turning up in the wrong uniform. So what do? You prepare the night before. To redeem time in the morning, we would, when our boys were younger, we would make sure that they would bath at night, and then we would dress them for school. Oh, ready to go the next day. None of this, what am I going to wear? None of this trying to get changed out of your pajamas. So pajamas are long gone in the Carter household because we always wanted to be ready in the morning. But you know what? When there's excitement about something, you get prepared. When there's an anticipation about something, you get prepared. You don't think about what you're going to wear on your wedding day on the day of. You've thought about it. You've prepared. You've purchased the dress. You've purchased the suit. If it's important to you, you have thought about it prior to the moment. That's all Jesus is saying. Hey, this should be important to you. Would you prepare in advance? Would you think about it now, not just when I show up? Amen? All right, now if you're like me, I was born in the 70s, and so I remember the whole 1984 thing really well. Jesus was returning in 1984, right? Do you remember this, or was it just in Australia? For some reason. every single prophet, everyone was claiming that Jesus is returning. And then there was the Left Behind series. Lord, you know, I can still, that song can just play in my mind. And it's like, I don't want to be left behind. And then you're like, I don't want to be pregnant and nursing at the time. And oh, can it not be in the winter? You know, we got scared, right? We got afraid about the return of Christ. Instead of being excited and anticipating, it became something fearful. And then when Jesus didn't return in 1984, and people had cashed in their 401k, they had, you know, done everything, they'd stopped, it kind of became noise, right? The return of Christ became noise. And then people were like, it's going to be on this day. And it just becomes noise. And what happens when things just become noise? We lose our attentiveness. We lose the anticipation. We lose the expectation and the joy and the excitement that he is returning. Church, while there is uncertainty in timing, there is certainty in preparation. And because of all this noise, I looked at the book of Revelation and I went, I don't want to read that. I'm done with dragons and beasts and horses and bowls and plagues and, you know, what am I trying to say? I pray that there's a curiosity back in your mind for the fact that he's returning. And the book of Revelation is not a book to be afraid of. It's not a book just, well, I'm just going to read 2 and 3 because that's what Jesus says to the church. You know, second death, 1,000 years. I don't know. I was telling Brian through Bible college, the study of eschatology, which is the study of end times, I cannot recall a single thing. I was so disinterested in it. And then I've been studying the book of Revelation the last few weeks. And Revelation 1 verse 3 hit my heart. And I pray it sparks curiosity in you today. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. With all the noise of Jesus' returning on this date, with all the noise about the dragon and the beast and 1,000 years, we can skip some really important scripture. We can skip some really important things that we should be reading and paying attention. There's not a single other book of the 66 books. This is the only one where it says, blessed is the person who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart, because time is near. If it's been a minute since you've been in the book of Revelation, I encourage you, get curious again, in a good, in a healthy way. Why? Uncertain about the time, but certain about the preparation. Revelation 22, verses 20 to 21 ends with, and ever, if you're in, you know, one of those trivia, this one's for free for you. The last words in the Bible are amen. And he says, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. The book of Revelation is one that we are meant to read. Book of Revelation is the one that we're meant to be in agreement with, that Jesus is returning. So as your pastor, here is the big takeaway. Would you plan like he's returning in 100 years, but live like he's returning tomorrow? What do I mean by that? Plan like he is returning in 100 years. Don't cash out your 401k. But continue to plan to leave an inheritance for your children's children. That's what it means. I'm going to plan like he's not returning for 100 years. And I think the scripture even says, continue to do business until I return. The fact that he's returning doesn't mean I put life on hold. It doesn't mean I think, okay, well, I don't need to worry about that because Jesus is returning. I don't need to fix the leak in my roof when it rains because Jesus is returning. You know, it doesn't matter. No, plan like it's going to be another 100 years. Look after your family. Look after your kids' inheritance. Plan. Be disciplined. Be diligent. Work hard. But then live like he's returning tomorrow. And for those of you who don't know Jesus, you need to live like he's returning today. Because where you spend eternity really, really matters. Eternity is for a very, very, very long time. Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus rose to conquer death. Jesus rose just as he said he would. But church, he is returning at some point. Uncertain of the timing, but certain of the preparation. If I'm going to live like he's returning tomorrow, means I need to be watchful. Means I need to be alert. It means I need to not carry any offenses. Means I can't keep living in unforgiveness and regret. Means I need to speak the truth with boldness. I need to pray earnestly for the laborers. I need to pray for the harvest. I need to pray for those who persecute me. And I need to stay planted. That thing is too little in the light of eternity if we are going to live like he is returning tomorrow. In other words, watch and pray. Stay alert, be vigilant, and continue to be prayerful in all seasons. But if I'm to watch and pray, that means I'm going to stay awake spiritually. I'm going to stay connected relationally. I'm going to stay ready internally. And I'm going to stay engaged prayerfully. I'm going to stay awake spiritually. Church, now's not the time to stop studying your scripture. Now's not the time to get familiar with the Word of God. Oh, John 3:16, I know it. Do you? What if God wants to speak something fresh to you? Stay awake spiritually by staying alive in the scripture and the Word of God. Stay connected relationally. If you're not in a small group, I highly encourage you to find a small group, to get involved, to have a place where you can be accountable and where people can hold you accountable for how you're going with your relationship with God. Stay ready internally. Check your motives. Check your motives. Well, what is my motive? Why did I say that? Be quick to forgive, quick to apologize. Stay engaged prayerfully. If you've ever read Why Revival Tarries, has anyone read it? This is a great book by Leonard Ravenhill. And he strongly connects prayer with revival. And he says the church that is not praying is playing. May I say, the Christian, the believer who is not praying is playing. See, he believed that it's the sleepy church that misses the move of God. It is the sleepy Christian that is not watchful and ready for the return of Christ. I don't want to miss the move of God. I don't want to miss anything that God has for me. And he believes that watchfulness is sustained through deep, persistent prayer. The certainty of preparation is clear. We are to watch and we are to pray. I'm not going to get caught up in the uncertainty of the timing. He's going to return at just the right time. He's going to return when he's meant to return. He's never late, he's never early, he's right on time. My job is not to get focused on when he returns. My job is to be ready for his return. And to be ready for his return, I need to be watching and I need to be prayerful. Amen? Yeah. Do you receive the word this morning? Amen. Awesome. I want to pray over you. And can I just say, if you don't know Jesus, one of the best decisions that you can ever make is to surrender your heart to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Because where you spend eternity really matters. Pastor Mark is going to preach on heaven and hell. Pastor Mark's going to preach a lot more on the second death and the lake of sulfur. It's all a little complicated for me. I have a simple faith. My faith is this. Jesus died for my sins. And on that cross was a place where mercy and justice intersected. Because it's where my sin was dealt with and it made a way back for me to Christ. I have a simple faith that it is as the disciples wrote, that the scripture is true, that it happened exactly how they said it did, that Jesus rose from the dead. And I have a simple faith that because 1 and 2 happened, I have no reason to doubt. Number three. He is returning. Church, are we ready? Is your neighborhood ready? Is your workplace ready? Have you been bold in your confession of the truth of who Jesus Christ is? Lord, I thank you that you died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. I thank you, Jesus, that you rose again and conquered the power of death. I thank you, Jesus, that you are seated at the right hand of the Father and you intercede daily for us. But I thank you, Jesus, at the appointed time you shall return. And I want to pray, Lord, this morning that you would forgive us for any complacency in our heart towards your return, where we've lacked the curiosity to begin to look, to begin to watch, to begin to be alert again, where we got so weighed down by when you're going to return and the fact that you didn't return on any of the days that people said you would. But let there be a curiosity that sparks in our heart to get again. Am I watchful? Am I prayerful? And Lord, I pray that that would be the posture of this local church. Lord, that we would prepare for your return. Lord, that we would begin to open up our eyes and begin to dream. What does the end times church need to look like? And I pray that Exchange Community Church would pioneer that. We thank you, Lord. God, for anyone who doesn't know you here today, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would convict them of their sin, that you would draw them into a relationship with you. And Lord, for anyone who has questions, I thank you for an amazing organization called Alpha. I thank you, Lord, that it doesn't have to end here. But I do pray, Lord, for those who have questions, Lord, that they would sign up and be a part of Alpha. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Church, I love you. If you're here for your first time, Pastor Mark will be back next week and it will be way better, I promise. you can just tell him. Okay, yeah. I was telling the team that we were both sick this week, right? And so it was rock, paper, scissors as to who was going to preach today. And so whether I won or lost that, you can, I'll leave that for you guys to decide. But what I do, we love you guys. For those of you who got more questions, next step, our prayer partners are going to come on either side. And I just encourage you, this is a special moment to pray, have them pray over you. I love how the church prayed over Brian and Nikki. And maybe one day you guys will just share a little bit more about what God did and just the process behind all that. But I love you. I will see you next week. If it's not raining, awesome. If it is, enjoy the rain.
Hey, thanks again for taking the time to listen to our online service. If today's message blessed you, you can like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Or if you've got a question, you can email us at hello@exchangecc.com.